This is the Feet in Two Worlds podcast, telling the stories of today's immigrants. For Janie Shen, growing up with multiple languages wasn't easy.
I remember growing up and hating to go to Saturday Chinese school because none of my friends had to do that.
Today, in addition to Chinese and English, Janie also speaks Swedish and Norwegian, and she's raising her daughter to speak three languages. It wasn't that long ago that many parents and educators believed that exposing kids to multiple languages at an early age would confuse them and cause them to learn more slowly. Now, in a growing number of families, parents are hoping to give their children a competitive edge by teaching them not just two, but three languages. In this podcast, Janie Shen and Shadi Garman explore the challenges of raising a trilingual child.
In my home, conversations often start out in Mandarin, move on to Norwegian, and end up in English. My name is Janie Shen, and my daughter Eleanor is trilingual.
I'm Shadi Garman, and I grew up in a bilingual home. Janie and I have been fascinated by the experience of trilingual families, so we're going to explore the world of trilingualism.
My name is Eleanor. I too.
Where are you from?
New York.
Where is your daddy from?
Norway.
Where is your mommy from?
China.
When Eleanor speaks, I notice that she seems to mix languages. What languages does your family speak when you're at home together?
Well, we try to stick to one language per parent. I speak Chinese and my husband speaks Norwegian. The good thing for us is that we do understand each other's languages, so we can both follow the conversation, but it also means that we're mixing sometimes ourselves.
That's so funny. Do you guys ever correct each other with your accents or certain words?
Oh, absolutely. My husband's been learning Chinese for a while, and now sometimes when he speaks Chinese words, my daughter will be there and telling him, like, oh, that's the wrong intonation. You should say it like this.
Speaking more than one language is really celebrated nowadays. People are flocking to learn more of them. But it hasn't always been that way. So how did your family in particular navigate the challenges of figuring out how to raise a trilingual kid?
Well, we kind of just did what felt natural. We knew that we had to speak our languages to our daughter so she could communicate with her grandparents. But in the beginning, it didn't feel natural for me at first to only speak Chinese. Later on, when she started mixing, I got worried. So in all this kind of confusion, I mean, I found this book last year called Growing Up with Three Languages by Professor Xiaolei Wang. And it has actually been a great help and inspiration.
Xiaolei Wang is a professor and acting dean of the Department of Education at Pace University in New York. Her research focus is on early literacy and multilingual development of children. Professor Wang has also raised two trilingual sons of her own.
Starting early for us, we made a decision is that my husband will only speak French to my children. I will only speak Chinese, and then they speak English outside or with some other people English. So that's how it works.
When you have dinner at the family table, what is your common language?
There's no common language. That's the challenge. It's an advantage in a sense, talking about one parent, one child, is that for me as a parent who's only speak Chinese and my husband only speaks French, that works perfectly. Monolingual family, oftentimes, or if you have a family language, you use one language, the conversation gets deeper and you don't interrupt each other. Whereas in our conversation, I said earlier in the FaceTime we have with our children recently when they're in college, we can never sustain the conversation. As soon as I feel like some conversation is interesting, my husband started to cut in, so I have to wait. I mean, it's good that at least I understand French, so I don't feel that bad. Whereas my husband oftentimes feels very bad is that he doesn't really understand Chinese. So in a way, he sometimes feels still left out in the conversation. So talk about family cohesion.
There's that common maybe misconception is that the more language you have at home, your child will be confused.
Because they are, I call them simultaneous trilingual, I think they actually never get confused, really. I mean, they sometimes do a little mixing, but actually, proportionally, I did the calculations quite amazingly less. In fact, not only they're not confused, they actually facilitate them in learning other languages also.
Professor Wang focused on the trilingual development of her kids in the home setting, so she did not enroll her kids in Chinese or French classes outside of their home. These days, those types of language classes are becoming more and more popular and targeting very young children.
My daughter actually goes to a Mandarin playgroup once a week in Williamsburg, where she spends 3 hours immersed in a Mandarin environment.
Can you say zao?
Zao.
Zao. Can you say zao?
Walking into Mini Hands, at first you're not sure what to expect. It's at the bottom floor of a duplex type of apartment building in Williamsburg. But as soon as you enter the doors, it's amazing. Basically, I wanted to stay there the whole day and play myself.
This is Mini Hands, and my name is Mickey. My major teaching is that Mandarin and art. So the reason we started because I have a son. So I would like he to learn, you know, Mandarin and English. Unfortunately, so far, I didn't find that any place can, you know, relax and learning. That's why I think about when we want to learn the language at the very beginning, it's not forcing them, just giving an environment. So it's like a small play group, but everybody speak Mandarin. So let them that by naturally speak up.
The play group is for 2 to 4 year olds, many of whom are bilingual or trilingual. Most of Mickey's students are actually from a mix of backgrounds, from Asian, European, or American backgrounds. For some children, this playgroup is their first introduction to Mandarin, but when you look around, they all seem right at home.
Nana, 很高兴见到你,早安,你是谁?
We emphasize some vocabulary I would like to learn. So we will do some like sing a song, doing the art, relay on the vocabulary I want to memorize that. And also all the action, because they're so young, so they have to learn sharing, how to go washing hand, do party, and we do the old Mandarin song. So when they do the action, they will just memorize by naturally. They may not really speak Mandarin at home, but I'm sure they will sing a song at home. Sometimes when you do the like washing hand, you will say 洗手, 洗手. So he will sing a song at home.
洗手, 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 洗手. What do you think are some benefits of being trilingual and why parents want to expose their children to?
Yeah, for the benefit, I will say maybe you can see really right now. In the future for them, I think language is the issue, no matter you go to where. Because it's a global right now. That global business, global, everything is that going to internet, that you can easily to go to the other country to study. So if you have an interest things to show on the language, actually for the basic communication for you is kind of easy.
My name is Ksenia. I'm originally from Belarus, but I have myself like multicultural environment because we live like in 10 countries because my father was in military. And my husband, he's from Israel, but he also lived in 2-3 countries.
Ksenia is the mother of Leo, who also goes to Mickey's playgroup.
Nowadays, it's really beneficial to speak more than 2 languages, especially Mandarin, which is like a global, the country that's gonna run the global economy. So I speak to my son, who's 3 now, exclusively Russian. My husband speaks exclusively Hebrew. He communicates to different grandparents in different languages. Because we chose to speak between me and my husband in English, so there is English is always present in the house.
Family is another reason that Ksenia decided to send Leo to the playgroup.
So my husband's father got married a second time and his wife is from Shanghai, so she speaks Mandarin. When she babysitted him once or twice, like we realized that he doesn't really care what language she speaks. And then we found his interest in languages in general, like he could separate the languages, he was wondering what language other people speak. And so when we put him in Chinese school, he picked it up really quickly and it did not bother him that it's a different language.
Ksenia also takes Leo to meet other Russian-speaking and Mandarin-speaking friends in the city. For Hebrew, they also visit Israel twice a year.
From what I've read and what I've learned, they choose the language that is the easiest and the shortest. And out of 3, Hebrew is the shortest. In Hebrew, to say, come here and help me, it's 2 letters, bo. In Russian, you need to say, иди сюда. I've learned from my son a lot of things because he started speaking Hebrew to me. And then it motivated me to go and study Hebrew with a tutor. Now I can write and read. It's It was pretty challenging in the beginning when my husband didn't speak Russian, and it just takes a little bit longer time. Like, I had to translate what I'm saying to Leo because I wanted my husband to understand what I'm saying. It's like, for other families, it's not a problem. Like, everybody is in tune. But then we found that it's no need to translate, to just go with it. This is how you learn.
Everyone we talk to, I think they've all had basically the same message, that it's not actually that difficult to help your children learn multiple languages.
If you want to have Chinese speaking or French speaking or whatever, Finnish speaking children, you speak to your children. To be honest, raising multilingual children is really raising children. So whatever you want a child, that based on your belief system, you do accordingly.
What seems to be more key here in comparing like this generation of parents to my parents' generation is the feeling of support and feeling like you're doing the right thing and feeling like, yes, embrace your mother language. Yes, teach your children as much as you can because you're doing the right thing and you're doing okay. You're like, you're being good parents.
Mama, she said about your lesson book.
The most important thing for us now is that she can communicate, that she can go to China and visit her relatives and talk to them.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hello.
That was Janie Shen and Shadi Garman. They produced this story for the Feet in Two Worlds journalism course at the Milano School of International Affairs, Management, and Urban Policy at the New School. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. John Rudolph is the executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, and our editor is Carolina Gonzalez. Special thanks to Rachel Bongiorno and Rachel Stevens. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the Ralphie Ogden Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Nicholas B. Ottaway Foundation, and listeners like you. Feet in Two Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at fi2w.org.